So we've been looking together at what I've called pressure points, the most difficult situations and relationships where we're going to find it the hardest to be holy and faithful, because we're coming right up against the world and we're going to feel its pressure to conform to it and its values. And in these few verses, we're seeing that certainly one pressure point, one relationship where this will be true, is when a Christian is married to a non-Christian. When a Christian wife, particularly, is married to a non-Christian husband. And I hope what you've seen in this passage is that it really encourages such sisters, and really all married sisters. It encourages you that your calling is to graciously submit to your husband, so to respect, obey, and serve them in a Christ-like way, following the example of Christ. And Peter's encouraging us that this is very pleasing to God. It might lead to a husband's conversion, but even if it doesn't, this kind of character is precious in God's sight. And so the world definitely looks down on a godly woman, doesn't value the way that she may live her life. If she's patiently enduring and submitting and serving and trusting. But the great encouragement is that this is of great value in God's eyes. So tonight I want us to look at verses 5 to 6 and really the final encouragement that Peter gives godly wives. And here Peter encourages sisters with the example of the godly women who've come before us. And specifically, he tells us to remember Sarah as an example. And as you look at these verses, I think that the key thought that Peter's drawing from these examples and from Sarah is he's saying, trust the Lord. The key to living as a godly wife, even with an ungodly husband, is trust the Lord. And so the real question for a godly wife under pressure is not what is your husband doing or not doing, but rather, will you trust the Lord? So these verses say, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Now really, there's so many encouragements, even in just those few words. But one of the main ones is simply remember the example of the godly women who've come before us. And probably a few of us are blessed to have grown up in Christian families. Maybe we can remember as a child sitting on mother's knee and learning to read and read the scriptures. Or we might think of a faithful praying grandmother. Or we might think of the dignity and love of mothers who worked hard in the home, showing godly submission and loving and serving and raising us in the Lord. Or maybe you might look back at the example of godly women in the church. We can be thankful for women we've known in the fellowship who have set that godly example of faith, of godliness in marriage, family, who maybe have quietly encouraged young wives. There was a dear, dear older lady who, when I was just a young boy going to church, and there were probably only 3 or 4 children in the church, and She would make a point of speaking to us before every service to encourage us. From time to time, gave us little devotional books I've still got today, say that she was praying for us. And a quiet but godly example just can have such an impact. But even if perhaps we haven't had blessings like that, the scripture is saying here that all Christian women are blessed with the examples in scripture. And we're all invited to learn from the saints in the Bible. And even it says, sisters, you are daughters of Sarah, of such women. Even if you've not had examples in your earthly family, you're part of God's family. You've got mothers and grandmothers in the faith, so to speak, who are yours to learn from. You could think of brave Rahab choosing to protect the people of God rather than conform to the world. You could think of faithful Miriam and Jochebed protecting baby Moses, or Tabitha working hard to make clothes for the poor, or Timothy's mother and grandmother who brought him up in the faith. But specifically, when it comes to the godly example of being a wife, of submitting to a husband in a godly way, Peter says, think of Sarah. Sarah, wife of Abraham. She called Abraham Lord, the scripture says. Now, of course, it doesn't mean, I think, that every Christian wife should go around today calling her husband Lord. That would be so badly misunderstood. And Lord has a different context today, but what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, he's really saying, in the context, serve as an example of faithfully submitting to Abraham, her husband. So she honoured him in word and deed, acknowledged he was head of the family and household, obeyed him, trusted him, followed him, worked hard for him and the family. All things that a Christian wife in every age should try to do. And again, we're being reminded of how different this is to the world's idea of marriage. Today, women are being encouraged to be independent of their husbands, to disrespect them, to speak ill of them, to gossip and complain about them. And in popular culture, there's so many examples in art, entertainment, media of almost an anti-men spirit of it's all men's fault and of tearing them down and of women trying to be dominant. And the idea that a woman should serve or patiently care for her husband and put his needs first, that's evil, that's terrible. Instead of recognizing it's a calling for to godly Christ-like love and service. Now, if you think about it, it must have been very hard at times for Sarah to submit to Abraham. I mean, just think about what she had to face. What, Abram? God's told you to leave our lovely home here in Haran. We're going to leave everything behind and go live in the desert, wandering around in tents. No permanent home? Are you crazy, husband? What? God has told you we're going to have a son? That's impossible. Don't you know how old we are? She laughs. And even, husband, God has told you to offer our son as a sacrifice? I mean, think about how great her faith really had to be. And how faithful she was, submitting to Abraham and following him as he follows God. And interestingly, I think the scriptures do acknowledge how hard that was for Sarah sometimes. You remember in Genesis 18, she is eavesdropping as the angels come and speak to Abram. And when they promise him that they will have a son in a year's time. And that's when she laughs with incredulity. With unbelief, she staggers at it. So it's hard for her, but despite this, she trusts the Lord. She submits. And so she's being praised for it here. She's being commended for it. And her example shows us, even though it can be so hard, a godly wife is honoured in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I hope that might be a great encouragement when it is hard. That God sees. But I think the key point Peter's making here to help is he's saying, really the key thing, sister, is trust the Lord. No matter the circumstances, no matter what the husband may or may not do, you trust the Lord. If you have a non-Christian husband, or the marriage is difficult in some other way, trust the Lord, it's a matter of faith. Now notice how Peter emphasizes that in verse 5. These holy women trusted God. That's the virtue that he highlights and that he's emphasizing, that they trusted God. And of course, whenever you think of Sarah and Abraham in the scriptures, that they are the preeminent examples of faith, of trusting the Lord. Similarly, in verse 6, Peter tells them, don't be afraid with any terror. And if you look back at verse 2, they are told to have a right kind of fear, a reverence, a respect for husbands. So here it's clearly talking about a different kind of fear. And he's saying, don't be overwhelmed by this terror kind of fear. Now, faith and fear are opposites. The antidote to fear and anxiety is faith. So what's Peter saying? Well, a wife might worry a lot about her future. She might be afraid. She might be afraid of her husband, what he may do or not do. Particularly in Roman times, when a lot of women would have had very little control and their husband could... very little recourse that she had. But she might fear, what if I serve the Lord with all my heart? What will that mean? What difficulties will that cause? Will he abandon me? Will he be angry? She might fear this command. If I submit to him as God says, serve him and love him like Christ, won't that just leave me miserable? Shouldn't I listen to my neighbours who are saying I need to break free of this? Won't this just lead to difficulties for me? And Peter's saying, don't give in to that fear. Don't let that fear control you. Fear always wants you to live in the future and listen to the what ifs. And it will want you to see things in the worst possible circumstances. But the answer to that is trust the Lord. And ultimately, the reason that you should serve, love a husband, is because you trust God and what he says. And you leave the results and the outcomes in God's hands. And so obey the Lord even when it's difficult and costly. Do what's right even when the husband gets it wrong. Not for him, but because you trust the Lord. And his ways are always right and always for your best. And he will certainly supply the strength and grace that you need. He will help you. One final encouragement to notice is again in verse 5. Again, Peter tells us that this kind of character and obedience is the adornment of a Christian wife. That it covers her with beauty and glory in God's eyes. And so again, no matter how the world might disparage a godly life, be encouraged. It is so beautiful in God's eyes. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we do confess that sometimes we find your ways hard, Lord. That it can even be hard in our families, in our most precious relationships, to trust you and to obey you and to follow the example of Christ, of not retaliating, not leaving, but trying to act with grace, submitting and serving. Lord, we do find this so very hard sometimes. But we thank you for the encouragement in these verses that we can always trust you. And we thank you for the example of the saints who've gone before us, who trusted you when things were difficult, but it surely led to blessing and eternal life. And so we pray, Lord, that you would please bless the sisters of our church, those who are married, those, Lord, who may be married to your non-Christian spouse, please, Lord, grant them great grace. Grant them great grace to follow our Saviour's example, to follow this example even of Sarah, and to bring glory to you. In our Saviour's name, amen.